happy holidays here from Bright Side of the Sun, from everyone here on the website, not just myself, but this is Chris Habas, and I promise after about 50 seconds, this is the longest you're going to have to hear me talk today, because we have a special edition of the podcast here. Episode 50 felt like an important one, so we went ahead and had one of the more important guests that we've had on the show since its inception. Lon Babbie, president of basketball operations, is going to sit down with Dave King just before tip-off on Saturday from Saturday's game against the Dallas Mavericks, which turned out to be a win. So this was recorded on Saturday. You guys are getting it here today. I hope you guys appreciate it. This is episode 50. According to the Kabbalah, there are 50 gates of wisdom. So hopefully in this podcast, we end up with a quality amount of wisdom from Lon Babbie as well as from Dave King. Again, this is the most you're going to hear of my voice here. I'm going to turn things over to the great interview Dave did with Lon. Appreciate the time, Lon. And again, happy holidays from everyone here at Bright Side of the Sun. Thanks for listening, guys. Bring it on down.
Hi, welcome to this edition of the podcast for Bright Side of the Sun. This is Dave King here with Phoenix Suns President of Basketball Operations, Lon Babbie. Thank you for coming in tonight, Lon.
My pleasure, Dave.
All right, it's good to have you on. We haven't had you on a podcast before, and so I wanted people to get to know you as a person and you as the president of the franchise. You guys have had a few years here under the belt, but this is, at least in many Suns fans' opinions, the best one yet. It's very exciting. We're watching a young team learn and grow and win at the same time they're learning and growing. It's very energizing for the fan base to watch this team. We just got to get more people actually watching the team and trusting that this is a sustainable product. So I've got a few questions for you.
Sure.
First of all, we are 25 games in now, and the Suns have a 15-10 record. Many people thought that might be the win total for the whole season.
Right.
And many people, I don't know if that was inside the organization or not, but certainly we weren't expecting playoffs. Has your expectations for the team for the entire year changed today versus what it was 2 months ago?
I don't think our expectations have changed, and more importantly, I think the right question, with all due respect, is not whether our expectations have changed, but whether our planning has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that is unequivocally no. If we're progressing a little bit more quickly than people expected, and we're doing it with young players, which we are, then I see that as a tremendous positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we can be blinded by that success and do anything that's going to give us what I would call instant gratification at the expense of the long-term plan, because the long-term plan really remains, you know, building a team that's going to have sustainable success and not anything short of that, and ultimately win a championship with that kind of sustainable success. So, are we playing a little better than anybody thought? I would be less than truthful if I didn't acknowledge that. But I think the real question is, have we seen anything that would warrant changing our plan in the big picture? And I think the answer to that is absolutely not.
Okay. Early in the off season, Ryan said that, Suns general manager Ryan McDonough said that, you guys were spending this year looking for keepers
right.
for the next great Suns team.
Right.
And you, over the summer, acquired Eric Bledsoe. You had Goran Dragic in the fold already, and the Morris brothers and P.J. Tucker in the fold already, but otherwise acquired other players. On the surface, it looked like the players you acquired were to get future draft picks and get young players, but not necessarily those keepers yet. It was to potentially put veterans on playoff teams. I don't know if that was on purpose or if it just worked out that way, but definitely to restart a little bit of the roster. So are you surprised at how well those additions have played, especially from the Louis Scola trade of Scola to the Pacers for Gerald Green and Miles Plumlee?
Well, I think your characterization of the trade is a little bit off because the trade would have worked without Plumlee.
Okay.
And so, and when I say would have worked, I mean would have worked under the rules, under the, you know, the trade rules of the collective bargaining agreement. So it was at our initiative and our urging and our insistence that Miles was included in that trade. And that really was born of the fact that Ryan and Pat Connolly, one of our assistant general managers, saw Miles in the Orlando Summer League and were very impressed with him. And so he was somebody that we sought out. And so he fits the category of somebody who we want to have an opportunity to evaluate. And obviously he's playing at a very, very high level. And that probably helped us or gave us comfort when we had an opportunity to trade Gortat that we had a legitimate replacement for him and weren't putting Jeff in an impossible situation. So as far as that trade goes, I think Miles Plumlee was somebody we actually sought rather vigorously to bring in. And, you know, we're also knew of Gerald Green and Ryan had him in Boston, and I think he is he's played quite well and has a joy about him that I think has been very much a positive for us. So that trade plus the draft choice, I think, will turn out to be, you know, one of our better transactions. On the other hand, it's perfect for Indiana. The skull is perfect for Indiana. And so it's one of those circumstances where the trade, I think, will end up helping both teams. And on a personal level, you kind of alluded to the fact that we want to send players to places they're going to be happy. That can't be our primary objective. Our primary objective is to fulfill our fiduciary obligation to this organization and this city. But it's nice when you can also send somebody a place that you know, somebody who's performed well, been loyal, been dedicated, been a good Phoenix Suns player and a good part of this community, you know, whether it's Dudley to L.A. or Skull in Indiana, that it's nice to be able to do that, or even Gortat to Washington, because I think that's a wonderful opportunity for him.
Even Caron Butler to Milwaukee.
Caron Butler, for sure, because I sat down with him before we made the trade. I didn't give him veto power, but wanted to, you know, he hadn't even stepped on the floor for us and said, look, this is an opportunity for you to get back to your hometown, and he enthusiastically embraced it. So you're right, Caron Butler would be another very, very good example of that.
Great. So Ryan recently said, and you may have said the same, but I remember hearing him specifically say that it would be almost a bit of an insult to say that the Suns needed a top five pick in next year's draft to restart the franchise, that if we don't get a top five pick in here playing for the Suns out of that 2014 draft, then the whole rebuild can't happen. What's your reaction to that for our
fans? Well, first of all, I think the rebuild has begun. I mean, you know, and the rebuild has been in the works for as long as I've been here. You know, when I got here, I said this to you on the record, off the record, and now said for your podcast. I mean, I understood what I was walking into. I understood that when I got here in August of 2010, the team that had made it to the Western Conference Finals didn't exist. You know, there had already been changes that I think turned out to be the right changes, whether it was Amari Stoudemire or other things. But as a result of that, I felt like we shut it off.
Well, that's you can keep talking. We'll just they're practicing the national anthem in the next room over.
Very, very, very inspirational. We're standing up now.
Yes.
So what I was saying was, we knew we were going to be going through a transition and began to take steps in 2010 towards that end, and ultimately resulted in seeing the end of that Steve Nash kind of Grant Hill era, trading Nash for, you know, four draft picks, two firsts, two seconds. And so the rebuild began earlier than that. I think it's just now there's just a better feeling about it. There's more clarity. It's more obvious maybe to people what we intend to do, and that's a good thing. So I think the rebuilding has already begun. And getting to your specific question of, how what's our expectations for this draft? I mean, I think Ryan McDonough is a first-rate general manager, a first-rate talent evaluator, and we have an outstanding scouting staff, and we're going to make a great pick wherever that pick happens to fall. And, the team that just came in here and beat us the other night, that I know intimately, got two pretty good players. One, I think, the last pick of the first round, or certainly at the end of the first round, and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili in the second round. And so you can find value picks at anywhere in the draft. Are you going to get a surefire thing in the top five or the top 10? Maybe. But even that is not always the case. So I think I've said all along, I hate to put my future in the role of a ping pong ball. And so I feel like if we put the infrastructure in place, if the coaching's good, if the teaching's good, the player evaluation is good, the analytics are working, and all that's integrated, we will get a good player and we will build a structure for that player that we will begin to rebuild. And I think you're already seeing that.
All right. Well, let's take this opportunity to narrow down our focus just to...
Somebody just fell off. You heard that. Somebody seems to have just fallen off the building.
Let's take this moment to focus on the team at hand.
Yes, sir.
So three nights ago now, the San Antonio Spurs came into town and the Suns played them neck and neck the entire game. And then all of a sudden, the Spurs just suddenly started executing perfectly and the Suns did not. And then the next game against Denver... and equal as far as positioning in the standings and playing young players, the Denver Nuggets seemed to be about on a par with the Suns, and the Suns were able to come back and beat them on the road. Do you think those two games are a microcosm of the team as it is today?
It's a good philosophical question. Taking each game individually, I think your analysis is correct. I mean, what you learn from watching that Spurs game was that there is tremendous value in continuity, and there's value in just playing together for a long period of time. So if you think about it, what Jeff is doing is putting in a system, and for every play we run in the system, there are a number of options, and it takes a while for the players to understand their role in those options, and as importantly, what their teammates are going to be doing. And if basketball is a game of trust, it takes time to develop that trust. So maybe we get to the first or the second level of those options where you watch the Spurs and they're probably instinctually much further along the spectrum and they're able to execute down the stretch of a game. They know that Ginobili is going to be free on the baseline for a three-pointer, and then in the very next play they run a variation of that and he's wide open for a two against our best defender, and they win the game. Whereas last night, made me very proud. That Denver game made me very, very proud because we just fought through probably our worst half of the season. The first half of that game, we were not good. And we battled back with the help of Gerald Green, and as importantly, Ish Smith. And so that's credit to Jeff for calling on Ish, but credit to Ish for being ready. And a lot of nice things about it. I mean, watching Bledsoe on the bench embrace what was happening with enthusiasm, so we've got a team guy there. I mean, you just look for all these little signs as you begin to put the pieces together.
It's really obvious in the locker room after games, in the little bit that I get to get in there, the players really like each other. They're always talking to each other and getting in little, telling jokes to each other and really getting along, including the players who don't get on the court often, one of them being Ish Smith, another Deontay Christmas. And the players who play all the minutes or most of the minutes, all as if they're one big family. And Goran Dragic has said the same in interviews, that he just feels like it's one big family and he's excited to come to work this year and excited to come back the next day to practice. And he's just really happy about the way the whole thing is going.
That's not just luck. I don't think. One, it's a reflection of the kind of players we've brought in. Two, it's a reflection on Jeff and the kind of environment that he's created. One of, you know, authenticity, that's the word I'd like to use lately about him. He is authentic. You know where you stand with him, and you know that what he tells you is truthful and honest, and he's not telling you what you want to hear. And he doesn't have an agenda. He's just going to be straightforward. I think that helps create that kind of environment. And then on a level of, you know, the front office, we work really hard to make this a player-friendly environment. So I think we have an outstanding support system for the families. I don't know if you ever have a chance to look into the family room before the game, but, you know, we have, you know, the kids are well taken care of with babysitters. You know, there's a camaraderie there. My wife, Ellen, and Jeff's wife, Stacy, are working hard with Joanne Fitzsimmons, Cotton Fitzsimmons' wife, to kind of regenerate the wives' club, and they've met, and that group is getting tight, along with you know, Joyce Ponder. Is, you know, her job is to facilitate all these things, and so I think that kind of structure all hopefully leads into the kind of chemistry that you're seeing, and of course, winning helps. And having success helps, but those are the kinds of the structural things that you need. And I don't think the chemistry just is born out of thin air. I believe it's born out of all these pieces: coaching, character, you know, family environment, support, all those kinds of things. And that's one of the things. You know, when I was an agent, Dave, I was careful to watch. Never really expecting that I would be doing this, or never. You know, not for that purpose, but, you know, I'm kind of like to be an observer of human behavior, and you can watch 30 teams as an agent and how they treat you as an agent, as a player representative, and how they treat the families and what kind of environment they're creating. And then what we try to do here is take the best of all those things and build it. So I think those kinds of things help.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a much, much more positive atmosphere. The last thing I want to touch on is attendance at the games. We really need to get a good vibe going on out of this team. How far into the season do you guess that it will take, or have you done predictive models to guess when the fans will start seeing this as a sustainable team and not a flash in the pan?
Well, I hope soon. I mean, I think the fans have come out, and the crowds have been fine. They're enthusiastic. I think they're enjoying.
The ones that are here are very enthusiastic.
I think they're enjoying the product. I think we're putting out a product that's worthy of the support of the community, and I hope the fans embrace us. But I would take it one step further, and that is, I don't think the issue is whether this team is sustainable or this team is going to continue to win at the level we're winning. I hope we do, and you know, I get that. But what I would encourage people to say is, well, you know, we're through a dark tunnel, and we're out the other end of it. And I'd say, like, the sun is shining now. And we are embarking on an exciting journey, however long that takes, back up a hill. And, you know, I would hope the fans would embrace that and embrace this young group that's beginning that journey. So if the journey is a little bit more accelerated, great. But as we go through that, it's just more gratifying, and it helps us. I mean, to be honest with you, we need that kind of fan support to buoy our performance. We need a genuine home court advantage to help our guys, because you run into that on the road when you play at Golden State or Utah or Portland or some of these other places. You're walking into the lion's den, and we need to have that environment here. When the fans are ready to give us that, we will obviously embrace it. All I can do in my job is say we are putting out a product that I think is worthy of that support. And we're on a path now that I think is worthy of joining us on, and hopefully the fans will begin to do that. I've noticed, you know, TV ratings are up. I would imagine after the holidays that the crowds will pick up. And I know if people come out here and watch us, it's a very entertaining product. And if you like NBA basketball, you're going to like the Phoenix Suns.
And not to put anything on last year's team at all, because I don't like to look in the past myself, but it does seem like almost every game there's more highlights in that one game than all last year's team produced. This is a really exciting team.
We play at a faster pace. You know, we kind of want Jeff wanted to get back to that, Ryan wanted to get back to that. We play at a faster pace, and we're dramatically more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Miles Plumlee making some incredible block, or Gerald dunking, or Bledsoe making some contortion that results in a shot that seems Houdini-like, or just mm-hmm. Goran's constant energy, you know, or Tucker's, you know, perseverance. It's a more athletic team, and I, you know, I think it's fair to say a more enjoyable product to watch.
Well, I'll tell you, the fans, the people who are listening to this podcast will know that the energy around our website, fans of the Phoenix Suns, has really improved tremendously. This is our best year ever as far as readership and involvement and engagement, and people are just happy all the time, and I really hope that continues, and it sure seems like there's no way it couldn't with all the draft picks coming up. Just to buoy a team going forward, when you're building, you've got the assets that a team like a Brooklyn or New York or the Lakers, they don't have. And the Suns do have those assets to get back to that top of the pinnacle.
Well, it's taken us, you know, the better part of 3 years to put ourselves in a position where we can begin to make those moves. And it's just an inevitable cycle that you go through in this business, and it's hard to do it without enduring some pain, but we've done that, and it's funny, as I walk around town or I walk around the arena, I feel what you feel. I feel much more enthusiasm, much more support, and suddenly people think somehow over the summer I got smarter, so I like that. I, you know, at my age, it's good if you can get smarter over a summer.
Well, obviously, it's perception is reality, and in the perception is based on winning percentage. And I think you're getting smarter simply because of the winning percentage. But you've always been great, and you've always been really, really good to the media, to the fans, to all of us here. And even through the darkest times, you were the one who stood out there and took all the heat. So I do appreciate that, and I am looking forward to you getting even smarter in the coming years.
I do my best, and I appreciate the passion and the level of passion. And even if it's not always channeled in a positive way, it's the passion that we're selling. It's the passion that we want, and the worst thing we can have is indifference. So I've always embraced that, and we learn from our mistakes, and I think we're on the right track, and I hope the fans will see that and embrace it and join us as we make progress.
All right. Well, thank you for your time tonight, Lon. Right, I know you've got to get to the game. We're right about half an hour from game time, so hopefully you'll come on again in the spring.
Anytime.
Great.
And maybe next time we can get the Canadian national anthem played during the
Well, maybe we'll time it with the Toronto game then. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Lon. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.